Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 15th of Sivan. For all that this series on the internet of recorded shiurim is kind of young, it started on the 7th of Sivan after Shavuos for this year. I pre-record them. I've been doing them for a while, both in a local shul. I've given the shiurim. I write them up. They appear at TorahMusings.com. I send them out by email. And they tend to be dominated by certain postgames, such as the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Moshe Feinstein, sometimes Rav Uziel. So I try not to come back to the same ones over and over again, even though they are the giants of those who have put dates on their thing. I come across their tshuvot much more than others because they dated their responsa consistently. When I find new opportunities, I always take advantage of it. So here today we have a responsum of the Bach, the Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkis, who lived in the late 16th, early 17th century, born in 1561, passed away in 1640. And he has a tshuva that had a date on it, the 15th of Sivan. So therefore we're going to study this tshuva. And it's also in an area of halacha that often also doesn't come up in the tshuvot that I pick, or that this was written in Shin Pei Zion, which would be 1627, the 15th of Sivan, 1627, and it comes up in the area, it's a mikveh question. So usually mikveh questions are the kinds of things that I don't necessarily touch, I don't necessarily get involved with, because they can be delicate or complicated or technical, and therefore I'll often leave them aside and go for a different one. But this is about a question that doesn't really come up in our time so often, but is an interesting mikveh question. Here's the question that they had. The mikveh was outside the city, and the gates of the city were closed every night for safety reasons, right? This is the late 50s, this is the early 1600s. Life is dangerous in Eastern Europe, in Poland. And so they would close the gates of the city at night so the people couldn't get in or out, and therefore they could increase their safety. And they would close them, apparently, especially in the summer, when it was still broad daylight. It was very, very light. They would close them then. So that would mean that she can't go to mikvah. The woman can't go to the mikvah on the seventh day because she's not ready for mikvah yet. We paskin that we don't go to mikvah on the seventh day at all, even though theoretically you could go to mikvah and wait for that. Now, we don't do that. You're supposed to go after the night of the after the seventh day, after seven full days, you go that night. She can't go at night because the city doesn't allow her to go and come back, so she can't do it. So therefore, she's going to have to go to mikvah on the eighth day. Now, here's the problem. On the eighth day, if the eighth day is a Friday, and she's going to go on the day, so that's a kula already we have. There are situations, the Gemara already knew of situations where women couldn't go to mikvah on the night of the seventh, and they can go on the eighth. That's a kula. But the complication is that in that community, for whatever reason, on a Friday, they would also accept Shabbos really early. They would accept Shabbos earlier than the gates would close. So that's really very early. So they would say Baruch. So they've already said Baruch. Therefore, theoretically, it's already Shabbos. And our general practice is that a woman doesn't go to mikvah on Shabbos if it's not the right day and if it's separated from her preparations for mikvah. So the man asking the question, the Moreh, the person who had ruled on this issue, said that since she hadn't gone to mikvah the right time, which was right after the finishing of the 7 day, that wasn't her fault. It's not that it was her fault, but it's a tefillah shelo bizmana. It's not a tefillah at the right time. So therefore, we generally don't do such tefillot on Shabbat, is what this other person paskin, this other rabbi paskin. And therefore, he said, she has to wait till Sunday. And that's the question. Does she have to wait till Sunday, or could she go on Friday? And the fundamental reason why you would say, oh, she couldn't go on Friday is because once it's Shabbos, she can't go on Shabbos, because we don't allow tevila shelo bizman. We don't allow a woman to go to mikvah when it's not the right time to go to mikvah on a Shabbos. So that's the question before the Bach. The Bach says he thinks the other guy got it wrong on a couple of grounds, and it's reviewing those grounds that will teach us about this issue. So first of all, he says that it's not true that we say that a woman can't go to mikvah on Shabbos if it's not the right time. That is known as the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was the one who said that tevila shelo bizmana is not a mitzvah, is not the full mitzvah, that going to mikvah when it's not the right meaning, that Rabbeinu, there were those who held, we tend to assume, that for a woman to go to mikvah at the right time, right when it's possible to go, there's a mitzvah there. But if, for whatever reason, because she did something wrong or just because she couldn't, if she's not going to mikvah in the right time, in the original time, that's a lav mitzvah. So some people took that to mean, if it's not a mitzvah, then therefore we wouldn't allow the various kulos that you need to allow a woman to do it on Shabbos. But the Bach says, he doesn't think it's true. He thinks that even according to Rabbi Natan, who held that tefillah b'shev lo bizman is not a mitzvah, tefillah not in its right time, isn't the full mitzvah, he would think, the Bach is saying, he would think that it's okay to go on Shabbos. And he gets that because the language of a Tosfos in Nida on Samach Zayin Amid Bet on 67b is that Rabbeinu Meshulam allowed a woman, when there was a city in Rabbeinu Meshulam's time, in the time of the Balei HaTosfot in the 1100s, he allowed a woman where there was a city where you had to worry about thieves, and therefore there were issues of going places at night because you worried about the danger of it. He allowed her to do all of her mikvah preparations on Erev Shabbos, which was her seventh day. So she couldn't go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos, her seventh day. And then Lidbol B'yom Shabbos, Shehu Shmini Mib'od Yom. Meaning again, it's a case where women are not going to go around at night because there are worries about it. So she's not going to go to mikvah Friday night, which would have been the right time because it's too dangerous. Rabbeinu Meshulam said, okay, she can't do the preparations on Shabbos because the preparations are going to mikvah, things like shampooing your hair carefully and washing your hair carefully are things that we don't do on Shabbos for Shabbos reasons we don't have to get into now, meaning I think we're worried that she'll pluck out hairs and things like that. So we want her to do all those preparations before Shabbos. Rabbeinu Shalom said that's what you do. You do the preparations before Shabbos. And then the next day, she can go to mikvah. That's Rabbeinu Shalom said. Rabbeinu Tam Oser, and now the language is going to be important to the Bach. Rabbeinu Tam says, Ditre kule lo ashkechan dishari hashas. We haven't found that the Gemara allows two kulot, harkakat kafifa mitvila, separating the preparations, the careful washing of herself before the tevila, and separating that from that, that's one kula. And the other kula is srach bita. Srach bita is the reason why we want women to go to mikvah at night rather than during the day, is that we're worried that the daughter of somebody who will know when her mother's going to mikvah will see her going during the day and think that she goes during the day, and that makes her already completely tahora, and therefore that's an acceptable time. So if a woman were to go to mikvah on the seventh day, let's say, and then wait for that night, we're worried not that that doesn't work. It does work. We're worried that it will teach her daughter the wrong lesson. So to allow her to go to mikvah during the day and the worry about the lesson, that's a kula. So Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't do two kulot. So for example, it would seem to be that if a woman's time to go to mikvah was Motzei Shabbat, but then it was a Yom Tov, and therefore she couldn't prepare herself either on Shabbat or on Yom Tov to go to mikvah, so there's a kula that she can wash her, she can do all her preparations Erev Shabbat, that would be Friday, late Friday, and then go to mikvah Motzei Shabbat on Yom Tov. That's a kula. The kula is we're allowing her to have a distance between her preparing herself and her going to the mikvah. So theoretically there's a worry that something would happen in between that would have some dirt get in the way and make the mikvah invalid, make her go in the mikvah invalid, but we don't, so we are makil, even though we ordinarily don't like for that to be a possibility, we're makil so that she can go to mikvah on time, but that's only if it's on time. That's one kula. Rabbeinu Tam is saying, you can have one kula, or if circumstances are such that a woman has to go to mikvah, so she'll go to mikvah during the day, on the eighth day, that's a different kula, and that's a kula that can come into play, because if we need that leniency, because she can't go to mikvah at night, then that's what we'll do, she'll go to mikvah on the eighth day, and then, theoretically, even if her daughter gets the wrong impression, at least we can hope she gets the wrong impression that it's okay to go to mikvah on the eighth day, and that won't have the problem of the couple having relations when the wife hasn't gone to a valid mikvah, which would be true if she goes to mikvah on the seventh day and they don't wait for that night. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. You can't have two kulot. You can't do both of them. And that's the way the Rosh Paskins as well. So that's, Bach says, is what Rabbeinu Tam was saying. You can't put two kulot together. So if there's some reason, like thieves or some other danger, that means she can't go to mikvah at night, so then we'll have a kula, we'll have a leniency. Or if there's a reason she can't prepare for mikvah just before going, so we'll have a kula, we'll have a leniency. But to put two kulot together, Rabbeinu Tam thought that was unacceptable, that we didn't allow. We'd never see it in the Gemara, and therefore we think it's not allowed. So how does that relate to our situation? That sounds like the Rabbeinu Tam does agree that And doing a tefillah shelo bismana on Shabbos, the fact that she would go to mikvah on Shabbos when it's not the exact right time, if that's the only kula involved, it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have a problem with it. So for this woman now in our city where they're closing the gates, even if we assume, and the Rabbach will question that by the end of this tshuva, but even if we assume that it's already Shabbos because the community said Baruch Hu and they've accepted Shabbos upon themselves, even if we assume that's true, why can't this woman go to mikvah Friday night, meaning during the day? Because it's Shabbos, it's true, and it's true that it's her eighth day, not her seventh day, but that's only one kula, meaning she'll have prepared herself for mikvah just before she goes, then she'll have gone. That's only one kula. So in only one leniency, the Bach says, we never saw, we don't know, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have a problem, because even if you assume the Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's not a mitzvah, the full mitzvah, and therefore she doesn't have to, and the Rabbeinu Tam thinks that going to mikvah even on time is not a mitzvah, is not a full mitzvah, and that would have the following consequence. Let's suppose a woman finishes her time as a nida, but her husband's on a business trip. He's not going to come back for 2 or 3 days. And it's inconvenient for her to go the night right after she finishes counting her Zayin Nikim, her 7 days of being completely free of any problematic riyot, of seeing anything problematic. Does she have to go that night or not? Is there an actual mitzvah to go that night? So, to take a completely different example, so he said to me, listen, it's inconvenient for me to wave a lulav the first day of Sukkot. I want to wave it the fourth day. So I'd say, hey, sorry, but the mitzvah is to wave it the first day, as well as the other days of the Rabbanan, but on the right level, on the Torah level, the first day. So here too, if a woman says it's really inconvenient, and therefore I really want to go, and my husband's not around anyway, so that issue isn't alive, Rabbeinu Tam held it's not enough of a mitzvah that we would require her to go. Okay? And that would mean also that Rabbeinu Tam would hold that if her husband's not around, we wouldn't want her to go to mikvah on Shabbos, because even on a Friday night Shabbos, even though it's the day, because Rabbeinu Tam held that tefillah bizmana is not a mitzvah, that making sure to go to mikvah on time is not itself a mitzvah that would necessarily push aside the problems of going to mikvah on Shabbos, whatever they are. That may be true, the Bach says, but where her husband's around, the Bach says, the Rabbeinu Tam would certainly agree that she can go on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos, because she couldn't go beforehand. That's an important point that we'll come back to. And Rabbeinu Tam's whole chumrah, his whole stringency was, first he holds, tefillah bizmana is not a mitzvah, and therefore, if there's no reason to go on Shabbos, she shouldn't go on Shabbos. But if her husband's around, and the reason to go is for them to be able to restore their married life with each other, which the Bach refers to as the mitzvah of Piryo Verivya, as the mitzvah of having children. Now, I just paused to note, the Bach probably assumed that they weren't using birth control, and the Bach, and therefore he calls the mitzvah period of Rivia. But it's interesting to note that if you have a woman, that it's not always true that they're trying for, they're concerned with, or they're interested in having children, or that they even think of this as having children. But I think it might be true that the Bach would just say that husbands and wives living together is part of the mitzvah period of Rivia, of having children, of being fruitful and multiplying, and therefore her going to mikvah is part of that mitzvah. And the Rabbeinu Tam agrees to that. So if the husband's around, then the only worry the Rabbeinu Tam had was taking two kulot, putting together two leniencies. That is what Rabbeinu Tam was opposed to. Now it happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridah, as the Bach notices, the Shulchan Aruch accepts this stringency of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, "B'makom shirei ot l'dvol balayla," in places where, this is in Kuf Tzadi Tet Zayin, in 199, Se'if Zayin, paragraph 7, in places where women are afraid to go to mikveh at night, and there's a reason for it, "Ein lahatir lachuf me'erev Shabbat l'dvol b'yom Shabbat." We can't allow them to prepare for mikveh Friday afternoon, meaning Friday's their seventh day, so they can't go on Friday. Friday night is too scary, and they're not able to go. We don't allow them to prepare Friday afternoon and go b'yom Shabbat to trei kule b'hadadeh lo makilinan, because we won't have two kulot at the same time. Kula disrach bita, the leniency that we are now maybe, we fear, giving the wrong impression to her daughter about when the right time is to go to mikvah, and the kula and the leniency of separating her, preparing herself from the actual tefillah. So in the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch as well, it sounds like that Rabbeinu Tam would allow going to mikvah on the eighth day, even if it was Shabbos, if there's only one leniency. And of course, in the case that he was, that the bach was presented with, there is only one leniency, because she can do the preparations Friday afternoon, go straight to mikvah, which is also Friday afternoon, but we're thinking that it's also Shabbos. So even though there's the leniency that her daughter might get the wrong impression about daytime mikvah, that's the only one. And since that's only one, it should be okay, even according to Rabbi Natam, is what the bach is suggesting now. So there is a problematic Mordechai who quotes Rabbi Natam as saying that a woman should not go to mikvah on Shabbos, just like that, that since Tevila Bizmana, that going to mikvah even at the right time is not a mitzvah, that she's not allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos. So that sounds like Rabbi Natam is just opposed to Shabbos Tefilot, and that could have been a source for this other rabbi to have ruled that this woman shouldn't be allowed to go to mikvah. The Bach points out, but that's only talking about where her husband wasn't around. Right? Because even during the week, Rabbi Natam held that she's not required to go to mikvah that night. So she's not required to go to, when her husband isn't around. So she's not required to go to mikvah because Rabbi Natam holds that it's not actually a mitzvah to go on time of its own. It's not an independent full mitzvah to go of its own. So where her husband's not around, she can push it off if she wants to, if it's inconvenient. And where her, and therefore that would mean that on Shabbos, if her husband's not around, since there are other isurim, there are other problems with it, therefore, Rabbi Natam says you can't go. And that, and the reason Rabbi Natam felt the need to say that was because other people held that, in fact, going to mikvah itself is a full mitzvah, and the timing is a full mitzvah, and therefore, even if her husband isn't around, she needs to go that night, even if it's inconvenient, and also it would allow her to go on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, even though her husband's not around, and therefore it's not, and Yom Kippur, it's not, even if her husband's around, it's not going to lead to anything because Yom Kippur it's prohibited. Nonetheless, those other authorities held that since Tefila Bizmana, going to mikvah at the right time is a mitzvah, you have to do it. Rabbi Natam held not that way, held it the other way, and therefore he held that she, if her husband's not around, she can't go to mikvah on Shabbos, and it'll be like Yom Kippur, because there's no mitzvah of period of Rivia when the husband's not around, or on Yom Kippur. The Mahari Weil had also reported another halacha that's relevant to this case, but that's also not going to ruin the Bach's perspective, which is that if Friday night is the 9th or 10th day after her Sfirah, so probably we all know this, but let's remember that the way Nida issues work for a woman is that if a woman menstruates, she has to wait till she stops bleeding, and then she has to count 7 days where she sees nothing, where there's no blood, there's no worry about blood, and those 7 days are completely free of blood, and then after that, she can go to mikvah. She's not able to return to living with her husband until she goes to mikvah. So going to mikvah is a necessity. But especially if we hold that going to mikvah that night is not an absolute requirement, it's not a mitzvah of its own. If he's away, then she might not go for a few days. So let's say a woman's husband is on a business trip, but he's coming back Friday afternoon. She could have gone to mikvah, just for the sake of the argument, Tuesday night. But Tuesday night she was busy, and he wasn't around anyway. And Wednesday night she was busy, he wasn't around anyway. Thursday night he was busy, she wasn't around anyway. So the Mahari Weil says that she can't go to mikvah that Friday night, even though the husband is going to be back, right? And he gets it from this Rabbeinu Tam. Because tefillah, since it's not a tefillah bizmana, and even though, and tefillah bizmana isn't a mitzvah at all, it's going to be, it's not a full mitzvah. Going to tefillah mikvah at the right time, not a full mitzvah. So you too, it's not the right time, before you can't go. So that also seems to imply that she can't go to mikvah on Shabbos, but the Bach says that's not what it implies. What it implies is, for Rabbeinu Tam, since after the 7, she couldn't go to mikvah if her husband wasn't around, right? Because it's not a full mitzvah. So here too, even though her husband's going to be around now, and there's going to be a mitzvah period of Rivia, but the problem is that it's not the actual right time. So if it was the actual right time plus the period of Rivia would have put us over the hump of being able to go to mikvah on Shabbos. But here, it's not the right time because she could have gone Tuesday night, and she or Wednesday night, or Thursday night, and therefore you can't put those together. So what we're ending up with, according to the Bach, is that Rabbeinu Tam's perspective is that we're in sort of a gray area. It's not an absolute obligation for her to go to mikvah that night, the night that she's first able to go. Others held it was. Rabbeinu Tam holds it isn't. So if it's not, that has certain ramifications. If her husband's around, the possibility of the husband and wife being able to rekindle their marital relationship is sufficient that she can go to mikvah. So that's the two of those together. But wherever those things aren't there, that's an issue. It's also true that because it's not a full mitzvah in that way, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't have two leniencies of doing it during the day, going to mikvah during the day, as well as separating it from the preparations for mikvah. So you have all of these factors that are floating around that you have to put together. So for Rabbeinu Tam, in order to go to mikvah on Shabbos, it has to be one leniency, and it has to be ba'ala ba'ir, it has to be that her husband is around. For our case that was brought to the Bach, all of that is true, that it's her right time. She's going the first time she can, which is going to be this Friday afternoon, although the kehila, the kahal, the community has already accepted Shabbos, and her husband is around. So the Bach is saying, so it would seem that Rabbeinu Tam should be on board with this. Then the Bach sort of switches positions on Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, and even if you decide that all of what I said about Rabbeinu Tam is untrue, that Rabbeinu Tam really held that even if her husband is around, it's prohibited to go to mikvah on Shabbos, even where she couldn't have gone beforehand. And you say that the Mordechai, when he wrote that the Rabbeinu Tam says you can't go to mikvah on Shabbos, he meant in all cases. And then he throws in, which is odd because he spent a whole bunch of time arguing the other way. He says, "V'kach nir ha'emet l'fi'aniyat dati." He thinks the truth is, I think if you look at Rabbeinu Tam carefully, that is Rabbeinu Tam held. So everything that he said until now about Rabbeinu Tam, even though it sounded very good, he ends up saying, "Hey, I think it might not be true." V'kam tifarish to Rabbeinu Tam machlokoto or me'loka mar elad af l'fi'ya, meaning that whenever he said that something was okay, he didn't mean it was okay according to him. He meant that it was okay even according to the other perspective, even according to Rabbeinu Meshulam, who said she can go to mikvah on Shabbos even if it's not the right time. Rabbeinu Tam said, but he still shouldn't go so far as to have two kulot. But Rabbeinu Tam himself held that even one kula wouldn't be good enough, and that's not like some people reported Rabbeinu Tam, but that is how the Bach really thinks Rabbeinu Tam held. So everything we've said till now, well, it sounded very good, but the Bach is now saying he thinks that that really isn't the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam. That might be how we could write it according to the other perspective, that if you want to take Rabbeinu Tam's ideas as they apply to the other perspective, the Rabbeinu Meshulam perspective, we'd still be okay. But for Rabbeinu Tam, he thinks, in fact, Rabbeinu Tam held that since Tefillah Bizmana is not at all a mitzvah, it's not enough of a mitzvah to push aside Shabbat at all, then it would mean that she can't go to mikvah on Shabbos if it's Shelo Bizmana in any way whatsoever. Okay? But for all that's true, Rabbeinu Tam held that way. He holds, the Bach now says, it seems to me clear, and he uses the phrase that the Gemara uses for something that's completely, absolutely clear, biyata bechutka, which is an egg in a certain dish, and the question of vasa bechala, which is an obvious issue because eggs are not, in fact, considered meat. So that's the example that's given of biyata bechutka, an egg in that kind of milchik hash. Kema danan lo nahag idan karabinu tam, b'hashari nashim shalanu tovelet b'shabbat. We go to mikvah, our women go to mikvah Friday night when the husband's around. If that's when the 7 days is up, meaning if it's bizmana, as much as we can get it to be, if it's the right time to go to mikvah, the first possible time for her to go to mikvah, then she goes Friday night. And he's saying, I think Rabbeinu Tam holds, you don't go Friday night because Rabbeinu Tam held that it's lava mitzvah. So if that's true, if we hold that way, then clearly we're not positive Rabbeinu Tam. For all that we showed other places that the Shulchan Aruch positive Rabbeinu Tam, such as in not having two leniencies and putting them together to have a woman go to mikvah Shabbos afternoon separated from Friday preparations, because that's two kulot, a daytime immersion, as well as a separation of preparation from immersion, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. But on the fundamental question of whether we consider our immersion being a mitzvah enough that it justifies her going to mikvah Friday night when her husband is around, the answer is we do. So if that's true, then if the 8th day is Erev Shabbos, and you've got, so she couldn't go Thursday night because the gates closed, so she couldn't go Thursday night, and the 8th day is this Erev Shabbos, seems to him, the Bach says, it seems to me this is her first possible time to go. If it's the first possible time to go, our general practice is, whenever it's a first woman's first possible time to go, even if it's Shabbos, we allow it. Right? So it's not completely bizmana, but it's enough bizmana, it's enough the right time, in the sense that it's her first possible time to go, since she couldn't go beforehand, and that's what the Mahri Weil sounded like, and the Mahri Weil sounded like, and therefore the Bach thinks that it's okay. So we started off by saying, Bach saying, he thought Rabbeinu Tam, you could argue that Rabbeinu Tam didn't hold, wasn't as severe as he might originally have sounded. He did hold you couldn't put together two leniencies, but the one leniency of going to mikvah on Shabbos, even though it's daytime, right? That might be Rabbeinu Tam could have allowed. Then he comes to eventually say, well, it's probably true, or he thinks it's true that Rabbeinu Tam held that tevila bizmana, that going to mikvah at the first possible time, is not such a mitzvah that it can push aside Shabbos, even if Rabbeinu Tam held that way. And then he had other examples of people holding somewhat similar to that. But all those other examples, he was able to say there wasn't the first possible time. So, or that her husband wasn't around, right? The Bach said, we require two factors together, first possible time plus her husband being around, the Rosh Hashanah going to mikvah on Shabbos. If one of those things isn't true, then she's not allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos. But since in the general practice in Poland at the time, and in our time as well, women go to mikvah Friday night if that's the first possible time and her husband's around, it seems that we don't rule according to Rabbeinu Tam. If that's true, with our woman, who we need the one kula of letting her go during the daytime, right, because she can't go any other time, so that here it's not technically the earliest possible time because she could have gone theoretically the previous night, it is the first possible time because she had no access to a mikvah by virtue of the danger issue and the gates being closed. So therefore he thinks that she should be allowed to go to mikvah for all the reasons that he said. And now he comes to one more assumption of this moreh, which is more broadly relevant to the rest of us. Of this person who said she couldn't go, he comes up to one more assumption in that psak, which is that the rabbi had assumed that it was Shabbos already. And he assumed it was Shabbos by virtue of the fact that the community had said Baruch Hu. So it's an odd thing to think about. I don't know the community, I don't know why they would do it, but apparently this community was making Shabbos so early that even though the gates of the city closed while it was still light outside, they were making Shabbos even earlier than that. So let's say if I'm sitting in New York in the summer and it doesn't get dark now till 8:15, let's say. So it could be what he means is that the city would close the gates at 7:45, right when it's starting to get dark, even, or 7:30. And that community, if they made a 7 o'clock Shabbos, as many communities they do, they could get up to Baruch Hu even with the Kabbalah Shabbos. They could get up to Baruch Hu by 7:30. So you play around with the numbers, but you see what I'm saying. So the community has accepted Shabbos for their reasons. The gates aren't still closed, so she's planning on going at the last possible second, or she's just whatever, and the Moreh says, no, she can't go. So she couldn't go beforehand, because that's, she could theoretically go before the community says Baruch Hu, but that's not what happened here. So the community said Baruch Hu, so then she's going on Shabbos, and that's a problem. So the Bach says, well, I'm not sure that's true. Since they closed the gates early, it's so early that it's not yet her requirement, lehosif mechol ala kodesh, to add on to Shabbos from the weekday. So, because it says Tosefet Shabbos, the whole idea of adding Shabbos early only starts with Tchilas Hashkia. This gets into questions about what we consider sunset, what we don't consider sunset. I'm not going to get into that now, but the Bach's perspective is that until the sun starts setting, and he may have thought that sun starts setting is what we today might call sunset. But in any case, it's certainly closer to sunset than many communities make Shabbos. And he says, before then, there's not really an issue of Tosefet Shabbos, not really an obligation on anybody to make Shabbos. So if she didn't make Shabbos yet, she wasn't in shul for Baruch Hu. So therefore, he says, she doesn't need to... She doesn't need to keep Shabbos. She can't violate Shabbos in front of them. That's a whole question about when a community has accepted upon itself a certain stringency, and here the stringency is to treat it as Shabbos, even though it's not yet Shabbos. She can't act as if it's not Shabbos in front of them, right? That's a truma sedeshin, but she can, when she's not around, she can do what she wants, because it's not Shabbos for her, right? The Ein Kabbalah Shabbos Shel Tzibur Machrakas Es Ha'isha Shetehin Nigveret Achareihem. Sorry for the mixed accents. The fact that they can accept Shabbos doesn't require her to join them since the sun hasn't fully started setting. This is an interesting thing that comes up because I know many shuls that, especially in the summer when some people make Shabbos early, shuls will list various candle lighting times as if the women, whoever's in the house who's going to be lighting the candles, has to light the candles by the time that the people from that family who have gone to shul have accepted Shabbos. But I think the Bach is saying, and I think it's clear, that that's not true. I think it is true that when they get to the house has to be keeping Shabbos already, because the people in the house can't violate Shabbos in front of people who are members of a community that's accepted Shabbos, that there's community. But in terms of having to accept Shabbos, then the Bach says they don't have to accept. She doesn't have to accept Shabbos then, and therefore she could even still daven mincha if she wasn't with them in shul. She could daven a tefillah shel chol, and even though they've accepted Shabbos baruch hu, and therefore he says it's not actually a tefillah on Shabbos. She's not actually going to mikvah on Shabbos. She's going to mikvah Friday afternoon. Ordinarily, women don't go to mikvah in the afternoon, but here she's doing it because she doesn't have a choice because of the closing of the gate. So therefore, even the Moreh who said that she couldn't go to mikvah on Shabbos, Bach says it's not really Shabbos for her, and she doesn't have any reason that she has to think of it as Shabbos just because the community said Baruch Hu. And he says, and therefore there's no reason for her to make efforts to do it before Baruch Hu, because the truth is, the later she goes, the better it is, because the closer it is to the night, the less opportunity is there to make the mistake that people think it's fine to go to mikveh during the day, and therefore it's better to do it as late as possible. So the Bach thinks that this whole thing is not it. And then he adds one more piece, and all that he does is according to the mistakes this other rabbi had made, but he'll say even one more thing. If she had been in shul for Baruch Hu, and she heard Baruch Hu, he still thinks she should go to mikvah, because he thinks that all of this means that she's allowed to go to mikvah, even though it is Shabbos for her, for the reason that we've seen. So, the Bach has now taught us that there are issues of mikvah, going to mikvah during the day. There are times when it's allowed because of the circumstances that force people's hands into going to mikvah during the day. We don't allow two kulos. We don't allow doing two leniencies. Then Rabbeinu Tam probably thinks we don't even allow having a going to mikvah when it's not the right time on Shabbos, even if the husband is around. We don't seem to pass in that way. If the husband's around, we seem to allow going to mikvah the first day when it's possible for him to go to mikvah. And then also, that the community's accepting Shabbos does not obligate people who are not in that room with them to accept Shabbos other than in front of them. When they're around, then they have to accept Shabbos. But other than that, they don't have to. And therefore, this woman can go to mikvah, even though the community thinks that it's Shabbos, she can go to mikvah because it's not really Shabbos. As long as she's back and not violating Shabbos in front of them, that would be okay. And that is our response of the day for the 15th of Sivan. Have a good day.